Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening. Welcome to a special edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim Schmiedeberg, and I'm joined tonight by The Mouth. He's going to be sitting in with me tonight. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jim. I'm rocking and rolling here at my underground lair in Sbarro's across from Madison Square Garden. The place is electric in wait of the Rangers' home opener on Saturday.
Yeah, we're all excited for that. It's only a couple of days away. And tonight, the main reason for this special show is that we are about to be joined by Hall of Famer and New York hockey legend Pat LaFontaine. I am hoping this is him. Pat, is that you? Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Is this Jim?
It is. Good evening, Pat LaFontaine. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My name is Jim, and my co-host tonight is The Mouth. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you stopping by for a few minutes.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Fantastic, Pat.
Hey,
so,
who's the Mouth? We got the Mouth on here, eh?
Yep, that's right.
He's my partner tonight.
I think you're going to have a great year, guys. It's going to be a great year for the Blue Shirts.
Oh, I hope
so.
Well, you are,
aside from Ranger fans, you are in the minority, it would seem. Most quote-unquote experts seem to think this is not going to be as good a year for the Rangers as a lot of us think, but we're optimistic. We finally got a youth movement going, and I think a lot of Ranger fans are excited about it.
Well, I think so too. I played John Torrell as assistant coach, and he's a demanding coach, so he's going to get the most out of the guys. I think Higgins, Gavrik, those were good, really good pickups. I mean, you got an amazing goaltender. You know, some of these young prospects that are coming up look really strong. So I would have a real sense of optimism for this season.
Tortorella was Muckler's assistant coach, wasn't he?
Yeah,
or was he Colin Campbell?
He was John Muckler's in Buffalo, so he was in charge of the power play when I was there during my time in Buffalo. And, you know, obviously I know Tort's he's a fiery coach. He's a demanding coach. He's a fair coach, too, but he just demands a lot of the guys, and he's a great coach for this team right now.
We agree. We're excited and looking forward to the Rangers playing his style of hockey. Pat, let's talk a little bit about why you're here tonight. You're going to be running in the New York City Marathon on November 5th. And is this the first marathon you've run, or have you run marathons before?
Well, Jim, it's actually the first standalone. I've done some triathlons where the marathon was in there for Ironman events for charity, and this is actually the first standalone charity event I'm doing for ING. It's a great cause, Run for Something Better program to promote kids and programs for running. Obviously, there's an obesity problem. Dan Jansen's a speed skater, and myself were asked to help out with ING and really to race and to partner up and promote this message. ING is doing a great job in creating programs for kids in the areas where they have marathons, and their Orange Laces program, where all of us are going to be wearing orange laces to promote physical education, physical fitness, and it's a great thing. So for me, I've only done these triathlons and or marathons when it comes to win-win scenarios and to help kids out. So this is a perfect fit and excited to do it.
This program is to help childhood obesity. Where were you 30 years ago when I needed you?
Yeah, I can say the same thing. Jeez.
I'm going to send you over a pair of laces and some tennis shoes, and you start running so you can do the marathon next year, all right?
I got tennis shoes. Problem is, I just wear them to run to the store for yodels and ho-hos. That's my problem.
Well, you're supposed to be helping me out here. We're doing this it's actually for a great cause. And actually, they've touched already 50,000 children. ING has 50,000 children throughout the United States have actually participated in these programs promoting physical education and running. So, you know what? We should have been there for you 30 years ago, Jim, but it's not too late for you, pal.
It's not too late. And no, it's a great cause that you guys are doing this for. And it is a problem because the kid I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know what you can do is if you go on, any of the listeners would be great if they could go on orangelaces.com. They can promote and actually donate $10. They get a set of orange laces, and all the monies go to helping these running programs here in the New York area. So whatever support they can give out there, all the great Ranger fans would be great.
Yeah, that's I was going to mention that. It's orangelaces.com. For a $10 donation, you can get a pair of the orange laces that Pat and Dan Jansen will be wearing when they run the marathon for ING. Now, this is your first full marathon, so let me ask you, what's harder, training for a marathon or training for the grind of a long hockey season?
Well, I would say probably, you know, just the hockey season. Nothing compares to 2 months in the playoffs and the grind that you go through in order to play playoff hockey. You know, the regular season's a grind at times. I would say this to you, having run a marathon before, you are beat up pretty bad. Your quads and your body gets pounded pretty good, and you're sore. Almost as sore as getting hit by Jeff Bookaboom when he wasn't my teammate. But trust me, getting hit by Book, I still cringe when I think of those days when I had to play against him. But you get beat up pretty good physically. It's just something your body's not used to doing, and you pound it for 4 hours, so you're pretty tired. But two different types of feelings. I think when you're playing the game and you're beat up, you kind of enjoy that because it's something you love to do, playing hockey. And running, I don't know if hockey players are built to run, but we're going to do the best we can.
Now you said it doesn't compare to getting hit playing against Jeff Bookaboom, but he actually wound up hitting you pretty hard when he was your teammate, unfortunately.
Well, you know what? Actually, it was Keane who hit me. You know, I couldn't see him coming because we were always debating who was smaller, and I think he was smaller. But I could always see Book coming at you, man. He's one of those guys. He's got Stevens, Lindros, about a handful of guys. But when they hit you, Jim, in the mouth, and when they hit you, you knew, you felt it for a good 2 or 3 days, and. I don't miss that part. I don't miss that part. I miss a lot of things about the game, but I don't miss getting pounded by those guys.
Yeah, I'll bet. For those of you that joined us, just joined us, we're talking to Hall of Famer Pat LaFontaine. He's joined us for a few minutes this evening. We appreciate it. We've got a full chat room. Everybody's excited to hear you tonight, Pat. And Pat, I have a little bit of a kind of funny question. Are you a Seinfeld fan?
I'm a fan. I don't watch it as much, but I do. When I do watch it, I enjoy it. Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a classic episode of Seinfeld where Elaine is put in charge of making sure that a runner gets up on time to get to the marathon because he had a problem in the Olympics where his alarm wasn't set right. Have you given that any thought? You have an alarm. You have a backup. You have the wake up call. You have are your kids going to come in and roust you out of bed? We just want to make sure you get there on time.
I don't know. Let's hope so. So I don't have to worry about it, but I don't think I'm going to have a choice. Somebody will make sure I'm up and ready to go.
We wouldn't want you to suffer the same fate as Jean-Paul did. All right. Let me ask you.
Go ahead, Mal. Well,
no,
I wanted
okay.
to say, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to Pat LaFontaine, hear what he has to say. Pat, I don't know much about marathons, but it sounds like it's a great charity and a great cause you're going out for, because there is a problem with the childhood obesity and the type 2 diabetes that comes along later in life. More and more people are getting diagnosed, so I commend you for working with that and coming on this show. But I want to kind of maybe ask you a couple of hockey questions right off the bat. That's my forte. That's where I excel. And Ranger hockey is really what I'm mostly concerned about. And I want to know how it felt playing for the Rangers for the first time after playing with the Islanders for so long, as well as the Sabres. How did it feel when you finally hit that Madison Square Garden ice for the first time?
Well, Matt, you know what? I got to be honest. Whenever I came in as an opponent, I always respected. I loved playing in the Garden. And I was probably booed a lot, but I didn't mind it because I knew they were true hockey fans. But I'll never forget the first game. I was brought in, Neil Smith brought me in to play for the Rangers, and it was our first game we played the Islanders. And
wow.
There was probably about 2 minutes to go, and I was fortunate enough to get a tip in front of the net to tie the score up 2-2. And I got a standing ovation the first game. And you know what? I'll never forget that. There's one thing, you don't get any loyal Ranger fans. They're amazing fans. And my only regret is that I couldn't have played, you know, I only played 1 year. I was hoping to play two more years. And I love playing in the Garden. I love the event atmosphere, the excitement of New York. I just wish I could have played two more years. But as it was, I was lucky to play one more year. I retired. I can tell you this, the Rangers threw a first-class retirement dinner, and something I've never heard of before. They're just first class. So I always feel indebted to the Rangers and the first class organization and the great fans.
I mean, go ahead, Jim.
No, go ahead, Matthew.
I was going to say, it's kind of, you know, on a different parallel, it's kind of what Donald Brashear is going through. He's a guy that's not well-liked, but he's hearing the boos. But, you know, as soon as you produce in New York, all the boos go away. And, Pat, you were second in the team in scoring that year. I mean, you really, and, you know, you were only behind Gretzky that year. So when you achieve in New York on the big stage, as they say, you know, of course the accolades are coming. And from everybody I've talked to, you're a top-notch guy. You've proven that through the years. And, saying all these things very well, speaking well of the Rangers, that's something also I wanted to touch on. You know, they seem to be a first-class organization. You talk to any ex-player, they say the same thing. And just one other thing before I let Jim continue. Chris Kostopoulos always tells me that if you would have been picked by the Hartford Whalers instead of Sylvain Turgeon, that the Whalers may still have a team in Hartford. So that's what Kotze always says. But then again, you know, maybe the Whale wouldn't have succeeded, but that's always just a nice little anecdote I throw in.
Well, it's very kind. And I'll tell you one thing. The 1 year I spent there, was something my kids were old enough to appreciate. And I'll say this today, that two out of my three kids are huge Ranger fans. And it's because I played and the way they treated me in my last year. And they've always rooted, and they still root for the Rangers today. And I just have to let you know, too, I have a big golf outing on Monday. And we're going to honor Brian Leachy's coming in for it. His fact that he's been... Yeah, he's going to be... he's going into the Hall of Fame in November, which is well-deserved and a great, great player, Hall of Fame player. Mess is going to stop by. I think Ricky's probably going to stop by and put a call in Adam. But there's one thing that's special about that group of guys, New York, the bond. And you know what? One of the things great about hockey, I may not have played my whole career with those guys, but there's a fraternity amongst players of helping each other and giving back and making a difference. And those guys, set the example, did a great job here in New York. And I my only regret is I wish I could have played more than 1 year. I would have loved to play two or three more years, finish my career as a Ranger.
It would have been great to have you. I mean, you scored 50 goals twice. You really had some big years up in Buffalo, playing with Mo Gilney at a 148-point year. I mean, it would have been great. I mean, I think it's working out now. Still hanging around with the Rangers, it shows you that they are a great bunch of group of guys that are community-minded. And I'm telling you, Adam Graves, you can't get no better than him. I mean, he's just an incredible human being, no less a great hockey player.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Book. I've met a lot of guys in the game, and they don't get any better. And a fitting tribute for him last year, and he'll be the first one. I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he's still kind of embarrassed over the fact that there was that much made over it, but I know deep down he's proud and well deserved, and they don't get any better than Adam as far as a character guy on the ice, the role he played, and then more importantly what he meant to the organization and the kind of person, the example. You know, he's an example that I tell younger players to look towards. Just look at an Adam Graves and look what he's done with his life, his career. And look the kind of how he treats people and the kind of person he is, and at the end of the day, you know, that's a great legacy to be remembered by. He's a special guy.
I see. That's another thing. I think it's great, that, Pat, that you stay in touch with so many guys that you played with the Rangers. You know, Chris Kostopoulos, another thing he always says, he was only with the Rangers for a short time, but he said, once a Ranger, always a Ranger, and you seem to fit into that as well, if you, you know, with the relationship you still have with Graves and Leach and Richter, and I think that's great. That's what makes being a Ranger fan great, is to see a guy like you who didn't play with the Rangers for that long, but it meant so much to you. I mean, I could tell just by hearing you how you're speaking of the organization that it meant a lot to you to play for the Rangers, and that's why fans like us, we appreciate guys like you.
Well, hey, thanks, and I'll tell you, I'll always be indebted. I'll always appreciate and be thankful for the time I had as a Ranger, and to this day, I still speak with the PR guys, and still run into. I was just at a dinner last week where they honored Rod Gilbert, Sports Angels, and Ralph Branca honored Rod Gilbert, and Glenn Sather showed up, and for all the great work. There's one guy I'll tell you right now that. I've always looked at Bobby Nystrom, and more, you know, he's been kind of this the great, great example of players to look up to do, you know, good service and work after the careers. Roger Bear, you know, he set the example here in New York. I just think the guy's the greatest, and ever since I've been a pro, there's nothing but great things he's done. And talk about a legend who stuck around and remembered the team he played for and the city he played for. He's another tremendous guy. So the Rangers have had a great history of people and players and character guys that don't want to leave and always want to be a part of a great organization. And like I said, I my only regret, I could have loved to play a few more years. And but you know what? I still am close. I live out of Long Island. I come into the city a lot. I'm going to do this marathon here in November and support the kids. And still keep in touch and close to following the Rangers and the teams I played for. So I want to thank you guys for having me on and wish all those great Ranger fans a great season and thank them for all their support and helping out with this cause.
Pat, I know you have to go in a minute, right? You have a TV appearance tonight that you're doing.
Yeah, we're doing. Actually, they're waving me here to go run in to do this TV appearance.
Okay. I was wondering, maybe we could have you on the show again sometime and talk to you a little bit more about your career and everything. Maybe, you know, devote a little more time to it when you have a little more time, if that would be okay.
That would be great, Jim. Would love to. And like I said, thanks again for the support. Wish all the Ranger fans a great season. And, you know, we'll chat again. My best in the mouth, too.
All right.
Okay.
Take care, Pat.
Good okay,
luck
guys.
On
All
TV.
Right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank
Thanks,
you. Bye-bye.
Pat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, there you go.
There
Pat
it is. Pat
LaFontaine.
Hall of Famer. What a as great a guy as advertised. We are come hell or high water mouth, we will have him back and we'll devote an hour, 2 hours, whatever he's willing to do. That was great. I mean, you don't get too many chances to talk to a Hall of Famer.
Did you notice that perhaps maybe other than the Bobby Nystrom reference, not much about the New York Islanders he talked about? Now, I know
no,
he knows he's on
know,
a Rangers program, but still, it sounds
and,
like
you know I wouldn't you know I wouldn't have had a problem if, you know, talking about the Islanders. I would have been okay with it. You know, that's who he
oh,
was.
Oh, I wouldn't
for,
have. I would have
so
cut him
long.
Off.
I know you would have, he has a tenuous relationship with the Islanders. They had hired him as a special assistant to the president or something like that, right around when they hired Neil Smith as GM, and then Neil Smith was fired 6 weeks later, and LaFontaine quit the same day, and then there was an issue last year, I think it was, or maybe 2 years ago. Where Brian Burke wanted to go to an Islander game, and he wanted to sit with LaFontaine, and he went to the Islanders and tried to get LaFontaine credentialed, and the Islanders told him no.
I did not know about that.
Yeah, they told Brian Burke and LaFontaine that if he wanted to go to the game, He was welcome to go to the game, but they were going to make him sit in what they call their alumni section. So, in other words, the way I look at it is, we'll let you in the game, but we're going to stick you in our alumni section where we can exploit you. We'll sit you out there with Trottier and the free nachos, and we'll here's Pat LaFontaine, our great, our Hall of Famer, and he loved our organization, and blah blah blah. You know,
that's terrible.
So, yeah, he didn't have much to say about the Islanders, and hey, we're okay with that. But had he brought it up? So I get the feeling that his relationship is a little tenuous with the Islanders. And, I mean, look, it sounds like he's completely embraced being a former Ranger. How many times have we heard Chris Kostopoulos say, once a Ranger, always a Ranger? It looks like Pat is definitely living by that credo.
And you see this time after time. I was talking this week, not on the air, but off the air, with former Ranger Cary Wilson. And Cary was a really good player in the NHL. His son, Colin, was drafted by the Predators, and he's going to probably make the Predators squad this year. And Colin was born in New York when Cary was playing. This is how long ago it was. Colin is a big-time Ranger fan, and Cary has found himself also following the Rangers, even though he's in Manitoba. So these guys, when they play here, there's something special. I don't know if it's the way they treat you, we may not succeed on the ice, but it looks like off the ice we really treat our players well. I mean, you know, it just goes to show you, he's just one in a long list.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's for better or worse, and God knows this organization has its faults and its share of bad times, but... You know, for whatever it is, once you become a Ranger, it just stays in your system. We're hoping to be joined by Arthur Staple for Newsday in a few minutes. Mouth, I'm going to work on getting him on the phone if you want to chat with the guys, and I'll be back in a minute or two.
Oh, sure, I'll chat with the guys. I'm looking in the chat room. Holy cannolis! We got some guys in here, some familiar faces, some not-so-familiar faces. I see Jostin Joe Fortunato of the Blue Shirt Panther. Joe is one of the great. I call him the Ranger Whiz Kid. He knows the ins and outs of everything going on with the Rangers. He's he's one-third of the three-headed Hydra I call Blue Shirt Panther Radio Network. Almost in Ranger Crisis, Dan. I'm so used to that. Frosty likes to take shots at me about the Sizzler, the All You Can Eat. And we got Walker New York Ranger. When I think of a Walker New York Ranger, I think of Gordy Walker, who played probably about 20 games in the Ranger uniform, but I did like him. And then, of course, Paul E.D., one of the all-time greats, Cotsy's main man, defense partner on the back line of Internet Radio Show, the Paul E.D. program. Now that I've pretty much die by the blade, I love that name too, and City Hockey Fever, I believe, is the program, runs a show called The Program here on Block Talk Radio, another guy on that. Now that I've gone over the chat room and roster and have killed 30 seconds, Michael Delzato will be on the Rangers coming opening night. I'm excited about the youth. As Jim alluded to before, a lot of the so-called experts have picked the Rangers not to finish so well. And listen, they may have some points. I don't think the team is without some holes, without some suspect worrisome areas. But we're headed in a new direction. We're no more of the Rennie Robot. And yes, I said Frosty's name. And a different direction, and we're out of the Rennie Road. We all know Henrik's a world-class goaltender and what have you. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. We had a little technical glitch there, something we'll have to work out in the future. I have Arthur on the line.
a fantastic Arthur Staples. Welcome to the Blue Shirt Banter Radio Network. I appreciate you coming on the show, Arthur.
Doing great, guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing fantastic, and we welcome you to this show. And I tell you, Arthur caught my eye. I was sitting there at the old Walmart McDonald's, and I'm reading the paper, and I'm reading this article on the Lighthouse Project, and I'm like, holy manoli, this is a great article, and it's unbiased. It was great reporting, and so I said, I got to have this guy on the show. And Arthur, I'm glad you came on. We're going to talk about some hockey. We'll get to the Islander stuff later, but we'll talk about some of the Rangers stuff, if that's okay with you. And I guess the first thing I want to talk to you about is you wrote an excellent piece over the summer about Chris Drury as a leader. And could you tell the folks about what you kind of gleaned from that conversation and what you talked about with Chris?
Just trying to get his impressions on playing for John Tortorella. You know, they only had about two months or so to really learn what kind of coach he is. And Drury, you know, by all accounts, a very quiet guy, more of a lead by example story. And I think his understanding and certainly what Tortorella had said to me was that he needs not necessarily for him to change his ways, but to really be kind of the guy who carries the message from the coaching staff into the dressing room. You know, the previous coaching administration with Tom Rennie, he's a very explanatory coach. You know, he would go into the dressing room a lot and have a lot of very open lines of communication with everybody on the team. But Tortorella is not like that. He just wants one guy or a couple of guys to come to him and be the conduit. And you know, Chris Drury's the captain. Some people, Ranger fans, wish that they had maybe a more vocal guy or someone who's a little bit more of an emotional guy. But this is the guy who wears the C, and I think what John Tortorella expects from him is just to be the liaison between the coaching staff and the players, and I think that's a bit of a different role for Chris.
Right. I mean, especially, you know, they're two different personalities. You got Chris Drury, a quiet type of guy, and you've got Tortorella, who's a fiery coach. What's your thoughts on Drury being up for the task on this?
I think anyone can see, you know, that watches the Rangers play, you know, knows that his skills are maybe not they once were a decade ago when he first started out. You know, he could still be a valuable power play guy, but, he's definitely more of a second, third line center these days. So it's not necessarily going to be his, you know, he's not going to lead by scoring 70 or 80 points, but, you know, maybe he can be that more of that sort of mature presence. They're a little bit younger team, so there's some guys that definitely need some guidance, some young centers who have made this team. So play a role for him as far as that is concerned, that maybe is more about not just putting up numbers and showing everyone how to play the game the right way, but more of being that kind of guy. Now, you know, he's not going to be like Tortorella, obviously. He's not going to be a captain like Messier or even like Jagr. It's just,
right.
You know, he's just got to adapt to where his skills are these days.
Now, I mean, did you hint at or find out maybe if Drury is cognizant of the fact that the fans were a little bit disappointed in his game last year, or was Chris disappointed in his game last year?
Oh, he was disappointed. I mean, I think there are plenty of professional athletes who are hard on themselves, and those are kind of the guys you definitely want to root for. And he's a hard guy to root against. You know, it's not, you know, he's playing the playoffs with a broken hand.
Exactly.
I should say to the fans that if they think this guy is dogging, you're absolutely wrong. You know, he's a guy who wants to play well and wants to win, and maybe, you know, a full year with Tortorella will open him up a little bit offensively again to be the kind of guy that he once was. You know, it seems like he might even be playing a little wing now to get Artem Anisimov some more time as a center. So, you know, and he's a guy who's willing to do that for the good of the team. He doesn't make a lot of demands. He doesn't tell people, you know, doesn't tell the coach what he wants to do. So I think he's a valuable guy for a guy like Tortorella, who's very much a coach who's in charge and doesn't ask for a lot of input from his players. So I think in that respect, Drury might, you know, he might emerge as a better player and a better leader just because he's, you know, he's a good foil for Tortorella.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, because I think a lot of the negative stuff by the fans turned towards Drury is just not merited, is not warranted, because you see it now with the more talent that surrounds him. You see how he can fit in a team that doesn't depend on him for goal scoring, which he's not. The guy is a guy who's going to get you 25 to 30. He's a character guy. He's a clutch guy. This is why he was brought in, you know. But, you know, Ranger fans tend to dwell on the salaries and stuff like that. And you know, and hopefully in this with Gaborik and, like you said, the young guys and the new team and the Tortorella system, he will adapt to his role and be embraced by the Ranger fan. Now, I know you've talked with Tortorella in the off season. I know you talked to him a little bit. What's your impression of Tortorella? I mean, we know he's fiery, but is he an approachable type of guy when you first meet him, or is he kind of intimidating?
I mean, I think he's, you know, what you see is what you get. He doesn't have a lot of time for nonsense, and you know, as far as the media goes, and I'm sure you've had some of the other, you know, some of the writers who cover him a little bit, you know, cover him closely. You know, it's a tough situation sometimes when you have to ask somebody the same questions every day, and you know, he doesn't have a ton of patience for it. And you know, he'll and the other thing that is you know, a real beautiful thing as far as I'm concerned is that if you ask him a question, he'll answer, and if he doesn't want to answer, he'll say it's a stupid question. I mean, to me, as a reporter, you can't ask for anything better than that, because it's honest.
Right.
You know,
you're
he's not
going to
give you a canned answer. Right. And if it's, you know, screw you, I don't want to answer it, well, okay, time to come up with another question then, if you challenge. But I find him to be very, you know, he's a very engaging guy. I knew him a little bit when he was down in Tampa. And, you know, he always wanted to be back in New York, you know, from his really brief stint as an assistant coach up here. In the failed Muckler regime.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he loves New York, and he loves, you know, being up in New England. And, you know, he had a great time in Tampa and helped build a tremendous team. But, you know, this is where he wants to win. It's a challenge for a lot of people, and, you know, I think he's up to it. And he's, you know, Jay Feaster, his general manager down in Tampa, told me the day that he was hired that, you know, he would be a breath of fresh air for the guys above him as well as the guys below him. But, you know, for a guy like Glenn Faber, who's used to getting his way and kind of being, in, you know, the
oh,
old
yeah.
man in charge, I think, you know, I think Tortorella gave him a little bit of a goose, those, you know, those front office guys who maybe have been used to doing things a certain way. So it was, Faber stepping out of the home of this guy, and, you know, you know who's in charge when you got this guy around. So, you know, I think if the team doesn't do well and the fans start to get on him, he'll say it stops and starts with me, so you can, you know, he'll take the heat.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, because it looks like already Tortorella is just, you know, you see him coming out with these comments about players out in the papers and out in the media, and you know Glenn Sather is, you know, he likes to keep mum about everything, good or bad, and he is, you know, I think that's an interesting combination, and you know, maybe, as you said, he's going to goose Glenn Sather, which brings up all kinds of wacky imagery that I do not want to get into. Now, are you excited about the Rangers season coming up? I mean, we got the young kids, Delzato, Anisi, Morph, Gilroy. What do you think about the Rangers, and what did you see in preseason that stood out, bad or good? There's like four questions in there, but take a shot at them all.
Well, you know, I honestly, I'm not sold on them just because, you know, they lost a couple of character guys. They lost Paul Mara, they lost Blair Betts, who not necessarily the most skilled guys, but made them more of a complete team, and you have yet to see where they've replaced those guys. I mean, Vinny Proxwell is a very good veteran character guy, but, you know, they put all their eggs offensively in the basket with Marion Gaborik, with a guy who just can't stay healthy. And, you know, whether it's, he already had a groin problem in preseason, you know, you just don't want to see those kind of things right off the hop. But, you know, up front, I think they'll be a little bit more explosive. I think maybe you'll see like a 30, 35 goal year from like a Ryan Callahan, something unexpected like that, but just because Tortorella likes to have more offense. And I think they're going to give up a lot more too. And I think that may be where the problem lies, is because Henrik Lundqvist, like most elite goalies, is a bit of, you know, can be a bit fragile at times mentally. And, you know, they're going to be playing pond hockey a lot of the time, going up and down the ice, trying to make things in the offensive zone with a lot of speed and a lot of, you know, and puck possession and at least turnovers. It did in the Tom Rennie era, and he, you know, that was the exact opposite of what he wanted. So they're going to have, you know, a defense that's capable of covering up a lot of mistakes. And, you know, you already see some comments about Dan Girardi's game slipping a little bit preseason. And, you know, Gilroy is going to be a great player, but he's, you know, he's an offensive-minded guy. You don't know what he can provide defensively. And Delgado's a rookie. And then you've got Redden and Roosevelt, who have a lot to atone for after last year. So I think they'll be more exciting, but I'm not sure that that's what Ranger fans want. I think Ranger fans at this point, after a few years of being in the playoffs, want more playoff success, and I'm not so sure that they can get over the hump. The one good thing is that the East is a very, you know, is a very sort of even conference. You know, Pittsburgh is still obviously the team to beat. You've got the Bruins, who are a good team but haven't really gotten to a certain point. You've got the Capitals, who are you know, kind of defensively and goaltending challenged. So, you know, with Lundqvist there, if they can pull it together and play the kind of, you know, capably play that kind of system, come back, play some defense while also providing offense, you know, you could see them getting into the top four in the conference. As of now, I mean, I think I picked them to finish seventh in our little Newsday predictions, and I'm probably going to stick with that. If they win more than a round, it would be a shock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on the same page with you there as far as that goes. I believe this year is going to be a stopgap season with the Rangers. I think before the youth actually gets here and starts playing, it's going to be a transition year. You can't change your whole roster and expect, you know, a wonderful team that's going to, you know, vie for the cup. I think any Ranger fan that's realistic knows getting into the playoffs would be a success. Making some noise in the playoffs would be even a better success. Now let's get on to what. The reason I told you, I love this article you did about Wang and his problems with the town of Hempstead. And how. What do you see for the New York Islanders? How bad is this right now for Wang? He's pretty much come down with the ultimatum that he wants this, $3.6 billion Lighthouse project to go through. And if he doesn't get it, he's open to all options. What's your take on the situation as of now?
I mean, it's certainly not looking that great, but I think ultimately, you know, it's a game of chicken, which happens with a lot of sports teams and politicians when they start to get together. The politicians want to control the process, and Wong wants to control the process because he wants to get a shovel on the ground, and the politicians want to have their say. And, you know, they're two groups of people you don't really want to be dealing with too much when it comes to lots of money. So, you know, Wong has his deadline for Saturday. He's going to have a press conference an hour before the first puck drop for their season opener against the Penguins. You know, to me, it's if he comes out and if the town of Hempstead hasn't decided yet that they want to approve this project on his timeline, it's going to be an awful way to kick off the season, regardless of how good or bad they are, regardless if you're a Ranger fan, an Islander fan, anybody. It's just, you know, it's just, to me, it's sad to see that this great franchise that, you know, Ranger fans love to hate and Islander fans have a great history with, that this is how they're going to start a season with the first overall pick, that an hour before the owner says, yeah, you know what, we're disappointed, we're probably going to move now. I mean, I couldn't think of any way to put a stake in the heart of it better than that. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm with you on all counts there. I mean, except for the fact that this Ranger fan would love to see the New York Islanders move to Kansas City, because, frankly, I lived through 4 years of the Islanders winning Stanley Cups in my high school formative years, and I've been scarred for life. But that's just me, Arthur. But
you'd miss them if they were gone, believe me.
Okay, if you say so, you are. You know, you are.
We'd miss them for at least the first 2 weeks.
Oh,
or at least the first 2 weeks, I think we'd miss them. Well, let me just ask real quick, Mouth. Arthur, what is your gut feeling on it? 5 years from now down the road, are there still Islanders? Is there still a New York Islanders franchise?
Yeah, I think there will be, because I think as you know, just was resolved today in Phoenix with a bankruptcy court judge ruled in favor of the NHL, and they're going to take over the Coyotes. You know, if the NHL wants the team to stay, they're going to make sure it stays. And I don't know if there's enough money in there still to buy the Islanders off of Long's hands if he throws up his hands after this development. But I think, you know, I think there's a way to get a new building out there, or get a renovated building, and maybe not have the whole prefab town built around it, this lighthouse thing. And I think when you get down to it, there might be a way to, I think they'll figure something out. I think you'll get a new building, you'll get something out there, and I think that's what it should be. I think this is a team that serves a real community that's separate from, you know, Ranger fans or Devils fans or anything like that. And it's, you know, that's where it belongs. It's part of the NHL. It's a viable place. You know, you see the wave of young guys whose dads were out from Long Island, or Chris Higgins from Long Island, or Rob Scuderi, you know, first Stanley Cup winner from Long Island. It's a place that can develop talent too, and they need a pro team out there. It's the only thing that they have as far as pro sports. And you know, my 12 years working at Newsday, I've come to learn that that's the whole, you know, Long Island is a much separate place than New York and this, you know, and this, the five boroughs, and Jersey or Westchester. And I think there's a definite case to be made, and hopefully it will be made before they get to this end game where you know, it's a huge standoff between a couple of low-level politicians and an owner who does actually care about his franchise. So I think they'll figure it out.
Well, I got to agree with you, Arthur. Charles Wang, if nothing else, he is so dedicated and such an advocate for Long Island and establishing an identity, you know, on there. I live on the island, which is admirable. I just think you can't do it with a hockey team. But I also think the end game will happen, where the NHL will step in as they have done with Phoenix, and they will try to keep the franchise. They want nobody moving. And, you know, it can work, but they need to put a product and a new stadium and get a whole new generation of people into their building and into their team. Arthur, I appreciate you so much stopping by Ranger Crisis, Ranger Blue Shirt Banter Network, where we're coexisting here tonight. Much appreciative of that, and I want to thank you for stopping by.
All right, guys. Anytime. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Arthur. Take care. Have a good night.
You too.
Well, there you go. Arthur Staple. Well, you know.
There he was.
I mean, I got the little identification. I'm so used to saying Ranger Crisis Radio, this Blue Shirt Panther Radio Network. I got to have like a big sign in front of me that says that so I don't forget. Because the mind does turn to jelly.
Like in Private Parts, when Howard had the signs in the studio to remind him to give the time and temperature every couple of minutes, you know, it's the same.
That's what I need. Well, I mean, it's crazy going nuts over here, Jimmy.
It's 7:43 p.m. and the temperature is 81 degrees.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. See, you're on top of it. Is that where you are, out in the backyard broadcasting, and me next to the space heater that is running out of diesel in my underground lair?
I am in Studio C this evening. I'm enjoying a beautiful South Florida evening. The weather has it's a little bit nicer than it has been. So, yeah, I'm enjoying Studio C, as I call it. Paulie's getting some really nice weather. He's on the other side of the little cold front coming down at us. But anyway, that's besides the point. We do the weather too. Part of our new dynamic. We're gonna do the weather too.
That'll be great.
Next week on the show, Lloyd Lindsey Young. You don't want to miss that.
Hello. I remember he used to say that. He was a character, that guy. Lloyd Lindsey Young.
I liked it.
It's heavy rains, heavy. He used to say it like that. I used to crack up. Heavy.
And he'd always pick, like, those obscure towns that nobody's ever heard of. You know, hello, Bumblebee, Arizona, 110 today in the shade.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, maybe we could have him on the show, Lloyd Lindsay. I don't know. He'd be on the show. But let me tell you something. You know.
You think he's a rock fan?
Well, I don't know if he's a fan of any sports. He doesn't look. Wait a minute. People in the chat room have met Lloyd Lindsay Young as a kid. I think that that categorizes as child abuse in some states.
Well, we've been on the air 45 minutes under our new joint venture, and the whole thing's gone off the rails. We're talking about Lloyd Lindsay Young.
Well, if you expect anything less, come on. I'm calling the show by a different name. We got Arthur Staple calling in from his submarine or wherever he was calling in from. I don't know what was going on. He has a mini sub parked out there outside of Hempstead. And I don't
calling
know what
in for the, calling in on the Sports Illustrated sneaker phone.
This is Arthur Staples. I think the Islanders are going to stay where they are.
Yeah, well, I'll die. Sorry.
All right.
I think Rangers fans would miss the Islanders.
Sorry, I can't agree with you, Arthur. I love you, but I can't agree.
So we got 13 minutes to go. We had Pat LaFontaine here, who was terrific, and then we had Arthur Staple, and he was interesting as well. It was interesting to hear what he had to say. And I'm surprised he stayed on as long as he did, because he kind of made it sound like he wanted it to be a much shorter visit with us. And I'll leave it at that.
Well,
when I got him on the
process, he's maneuvering that submarine off the island in that new Lost episode. So I don't know. He's part of the Dahmer initiative or something. But no, yeah, he's in all kinds of transition. He's moving and all kinds of stuff. So I'm glad that he came on. He did a fantastic job. Pat LaFontaine. I got to get back to Pat LaFontaine, Jim.
All right, that's where Arthur Staple was calling. He was calling from the hatch.
He was calling from the hatch. Hanging out with what's his face? The big guy there, the fall guy. I can't think of his name. Anybody watching Lost out there, please give me that guy's name. What's his name? The big bald-headed guy with that knife there all the time.
Oh, Locke.
That's
John Locke.
John Locke. I love John Locke. He's my favorite. I used to love him and the other guy with the big stick, the black gentleman there.
Mr. Echo.
Mr. Echo was my favorite.
Mr. Echo, yeah. Anyway. I am a fan of the show. And speaking of fans of the show, since we have 11 minutes left, I know you want to talk about LaFontaine, which we will, but let's bring in two of our esteemed guests. First, we have my co-host and my good dear friend, Jolton Joe Fortunato, and we're going to bring him in. Good evening, Joe.
Are you guys not looking at the chat? Are you just missing this? The Rangers signed Cheminoff.
For how much?
Okay.
Oh. I just figured I'd I just want to break some news. I want to be lost.
Well, that's good. Did you put it up on the site?
Oh, no, I didn't. You know, I was too busy waiting for my chat room opportunity.
Oh, good Lord. and we brought on, we have the esteemed Paulie D of the Paulie D Show. We bring him in as well. So good evening to both of you guys, and welcome to the show. I appreciate you joining us. And here, for real quick, I have the press just came here from the Rangers. Yes, the New York Rangers president and general manager, Glenn Sather, announced today the club has agreed to terms with unrestricted free agent Alexei Semenov. No terms. So that's it.
5 years, $30 million.
At least.
I can't believe it.
Worth every penny.
That wasn't the terms. We don't even have the cap room. Hey, if they got them, they got them. I'm using the term worried or worrisome when it comes to players, because I don't want to be too critical. He's one of the worrisome players. I tried to get this by Cotsy the other night, and he wouldn't hear none of it. He told me about Mario Lemieux's strides. I don't care. When I was talking about slowness, I didn't say this to Cotsy, of course, because I'm intimidated by him. But I I mean quickness. He just looks like he's too slow. But that's listen, he's going to be a seventh defenseman, so. But he's our only physical defenseman, you know, and I worry about that because when he plays against the physical teams, I think he's not going to win many puck battles. But that's my take on that. Go ahead, fellas. What do you got to add? What do you got to say? What do you got to whatever?
I'm just excited.
Well, my only thing on Semenov, real quick, is that I still think he's not in game shape yet. He showed up the day before camp started, and I just don't think he's in game shape yet. I think he'll be fine. But go ahead, guys. I'm going to put this up on the site while you guys talk.
Well,
I'm sorry, Joe.
I'm excited to be the first caller here on the Blue Shirt Banter Radio Network. It's amazing stuff.
My name first.
What happened?
I was the first caller. They announced my name first.
Joe, why you got to step on me, man?
You can be the second caller. You can be the second caller.
All right, this is what you have to look forward to as and the Blue Shirt Radio Network. Complete and utter pandemonium.
I love it. And I can't.
That's what it's all about.
I got to tell you both that you both have dynamic shows, and I got to tune in every week. Mouth, you bring so much humor and knowledge, and Jim and Joe, you guys, I mean, who's better than you guys when it comes to Ranger news? And I was very excited to call in, and once again, Joe stepped on me, and he wonders why I don't like him, so I'm always kidding.
Paulie, hang on a second. We got you on the phone. Where's Cotsy?
Oh, boy, here we go now. Here we go.
He's there.
Cotsy had an arrangement today. He couldn't make it, but. Jim, I honestly thought you were going to spin the plates. So one of you need to hit that sometime before the show ends in 8 minutes.
I don't have that sound effect. He'll have it Thursday night for you when you call in, I'm sure. It wouldn't be a show without the plate spinning.
I want to tell you guys that I think you're both doing amazing work, and for you guys to team up, fantastic.
Well, it's really a three-headed hydra, as I'm saying, from the epic, from the, maybe something from Odysseus, or perhaps the, what the hell was that novel, Odysseus.
From the old monster, from the old Godzilla movie.
Oh, you mean Ghidorah. Yes, we're like King Ghidorah, who fought Godzilla, who fought many a monster, Rodan, what have you. Yes, we're a three-headed monster, and I'm telling you, I am so glad to be part of this, but let's end this stroke fest right now, and let's talk about, well, I guess if you want to talk about, that Pat LaFontaine, Joe and Paul, what were your takes on that?
You can go, Joe.
I've heard before, you know, you hear it all over the place, that all these guys, like you were saying, Mouth, these veteran guys who played on the Rangers before, even if it's for only 1 year, were, you know, they're just absolutely enthralled. Unfortunately, due to my age, I really don't have many memories of LaFontaine aside from the just numerous concussions. So it was good to hear what he had to say. It was good to talk to him, or to hear you guys talk to him, rather, because I don't remember much of anything. I remember a lot of the hits. I remember, you know, hearing about how many more concussions can this guy take. And, you know, it's sad that some of the best players to play the game have these kind of injury problems. But I loved what I heard. You know, we've always known that the Rangers were a classy organization. And who better than to defend such a classy organization than Mouth and Jim?
That's right. Because like the New York Rangers, the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Network, BlueShirtBanner.com, Ranger Crisis Radio, and RangerCrisis.com are classy outfits as well. When we go to the Sizzler, we wear ties. We're polite.
That's right.
I wear both.
We tip the girl at least 75 cents.
Nice.
I get a trough of soda. I get my corn dog bib out. I've got it all set up. I'm a classy individual.
Oh, man. You guys are too much for me. I couldn't hang out with you. I got to tell you, Patty LaFontaine is probably one of the most classy people you can talk to. He does such great things off the ice. Forget about what he did on the ice. And I am old enough, unfortunately, to remember Patty LaFontaine. Unfortunately, he was a big Islander. He did a lot of good things for them. And I mean, I don't think there was a year he was on the team they actually didn't make the playoffs. He was always in the top 10 in scoring. He was always just fantastic goal scorer, fantastic playmaker. But what a great, what a classy man. I mean, he's the epitome, and I really would love to see, which I doubt, I would love to see him move into a position with the NHL, because I think the NHL is missing out on people like Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah, I couldn't agree.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, Paulie, you said he was an Islander. Are you sure? Couldn't tell by talking to him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's
well,
what I love
funny.
About him.
You know, Jim, it's funny. And, Mouth, you made a great point. I mean, he played, I forgot how many years, but he played quite a bit with the New York Islanders. And, again, 1 year with the Rangers, and he talks about how classy the organization is and how well they treat
right.
you and how they become a brotherhood. And he talked about guys like Graves and Leach. And I don't know if, because Patty's a pretty smart guy, and I know he's on Blue Shirt Banter, so maybe he doesn't mention any Islanders. But it's funny how all he did was mention mostly all Ranger players. You know, and it just goes to show you, same thing Kelsey said, 1 year with the Rangers, always a Ranger. I mean, he played most of his career with the Leafs and Hartford, and he's one of the biggest Ranger fans you ever met. And it's like that because they are so classy.
You know, I think it's worth mentioning that the NHL in general is probably the classiest of the four sports, major sports in the United States. I'd say maybe baseball is, you know, next on the list, but you just don't hear stories like this every day in when it comes to the NFL or the NBA. Rangers in general are a classy organization, but I think hockey, I mean, you really just don't hear about the crime or the accidents or the domestic abuse or whatever else you hear from these other sports. I've always thought that hockey had some of the classiest players on, you know, in the major sports network.
Absolutely, Joe. I think hockey players are the most humble athletes out of all the athletes. They're very humble people. I mean, you look at basketball, baseball, even football guys, exactly like you said. The showboating and just everything they do off the ice, not off the field or whatever. But, yeah, I think hockey players are the most humble athletes in the world.
Yeah, I just get the, you know, every player and you talk to, there's no sense of, like, entitlement, like you must treat me a certain way, you must be of a certain background in order to talk to me. Hockey players are just regular guys that, you know, they made the NHL. I don't know if it's the Canadian mentality, because a lot of it, it's still, you know, a lot of American-born players, like, you know, Pat LaFontaine, who was born in St. Louis, Missouri, maybe the Midwest. I don't know. Hockey, they're just regular guys. They're so approachable. And really, you would think of the NHL would maybe that's what fans don't want. They want the Terrell Owens, these untouchable wackos that, you know, that they're celebrities more than players. But once these guys retire, especially, they're so gracious. And, you know, and the Rangers, in their case, they're very protective, as why they're players. But after, they're just so engageable, if that's a word.
All right, guys, we are down to less than a minute to go. I want to thank you guys for calling in, and I want to thank everybody for listening. I think this was our first endeavor was a nice success. We look forward to it. I'm gonna try and get in touch with the guy and see what I have to do to get Pat LaFontaine back for a little more time some night. I think that would be great to talk to him. Tomorrow night, it's the Ranger Crisis Rockin' Eve. With what's your lineup? 25 seconds.
Leslie Treff. I'm telling you, she makes Jess Rubenstein look like he don't know what he's talking about. This woman knows her range of prospects. I love you, Jess, but I got to tell the truth. Second, I've got Russ and Adam Cohen, who are like the Smother Brothers of Internet Radio will be on. They're promoting their book, 100 Ranger Greats, Ranger Crisis, tomorrow night, Thursday, 9 to 11.
Good night, everybody. All right. Well, that went well. Oh, Paulie hung up. Bye, Paulie. By the way, this after conversation that we have, you can hear this on the podcast.
Girl, when we did it the first time, you heard it. We said something about it.
Well, let me just say, I'm not wearing any.
All right, regardless, do you guys want to do a three-way phone call or? I mean, what do you want to do? Yeah. So I don't know how to work that. So
you can
do it through Skype, can't you? Jim,
you can do it through Skype. Let me hang up from all of this, and I'll call you guys right back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Eddie, do you want me to just call you on the house phone, I guess? I don't know if you
can
call. I don't know how to send Skype. So.
I don't know how to do
Okay, I'll call you on the
it.
House phone. All right, talk to you guys in a minute.
Bye, guys.
Bye.